Welcome back to the Village Celebration. We are glad that you are with us. Joining us now is Sabrina Fulton, the mother of Trayvon Martin. Ms. Fulton, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I know this is a very busy week for you. It's been exhaustive for a number of reasons, but also you are planning a conference. The Circle of Mothers Conference starts tomorrow in Fort Lauderdale. How do you feel about this year's conference?
I'm excited. I mean, each year it just is overwhelming for me. I like to, I have some, of course, the majority of the mothers that come are new moms and not new mothers through the motherhood, but just new to the circle of mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of mothers about, they come back, they're returning mothers, and that means they've been in the last 2 years because this is my third annual conference. And so I'm really excited about it. They don't know what to expect. They just know that they're going to see other mothers and meet new mothers that are, also victims of senseless gun violence. So I'm looking forward to this weekend.
And so how do you welcome new mothers into this circle that is bound by loss?
What we do is we have a meet and greet. Well, I have a team. My purple team meets them at the airport, so that's the first connection that they have, and we get them from the airport. We bring them to the hotel. There's a welcome team that's there at the hotel to do the registration. They deal with the Circle of Mothers staff the whole entire time. They don't have to deal so much with the hotel staff, and it's just just seeing other mothers, just meeting new mothers, and just being at the conference and seeing all the purple is just—it's really pretty. And they, it's just a great time. We're going to have a great time, and it's about healing. So, there are some sad periods in there, but sure, for the most part, it's uplifting and inspiring.
And it sounds like from the very beginning, you worked to ease the mothers into the conference and what lies ahead for them. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is your featured speaker this year. You officially endorsed Mrs. Clinton in January. And what is it in her that you see that led you to support the former First Lady?
Leadership. Just her leadership skills and just her ambition to go from the White House as being a First Lady to being the President of the United States. I mean, just to have that capacity of thinking to say, I want to be the President of the United States. I want to run this country. That says a lot for women because we have not had a woman president. And that says a lot to young girls that your dreams can actually come true. And so this is a history-making process right now to just be a part of this, And I just think that with her experience that she has and the things that, her education level and it's, because by profession she's an attorney, and just to see how strong and powerful she is, that's what, made me want to support her.
She's met with you and other mothers who've lost children to gun violence. Can you tell us what those conversations are like with you, the other mothers, and Mrs. Clinton? Not the specifics, but an overview of your interaction.
Yes, the overview is basically, she brought families together of all nationalities, it wasn't just African-American families, and we talked a lot about our tragedy, that happened, and what we did was, specifically and in detail, we talked about each case, and, she made no promises. It wasn't like a fake meeting, like, okay, mm-hmm. I can do this and I can make this change. No, she wasn't like that. She wanted to hear us. She wanted to hear us out. She just wanted to know what did we want to do and how, and she was able to tell us how she could help and what she could bring to the table. And that's what we needed. We did not have anybody that was running for the presidency to actually meet with us, to actually even acknowledge that there was a problem with guns and gun violence in the United States. Nobody would address that issue. Not only do they have a problem with officers, you know, shooting and killing unarmed, you know, individuals, but we also have a problem with black-on-black crime, of course, you know. And so she addresses those issues, and now other people I've noticed, they're trying to address those issues as well. But she was the first one to stick her neck out and say, okay, let me listen. Let me hear what's going on, because it's hard for people to understand when they're not going through the same struggle. So, and so, you know, that was one of the things that she did too.
I'm curious, what have the past 4 years or so been like without your son?
It just feel like it's something missing. It just feel like something missing in my life. I mean, I've had Trayvon for 17 years, so just to go without him, it just feels like something is missing. It almost feel like I'm missing a limb, or just something major is missing in my life, and I know it's him. But I try to keep myself busy. I run the Trayvon Martin Foundation and the Circle of Mothers, and we got an event that's going to come up, I think, in August, which is the Circle of Fathers. We have mentoring. We have mentoring programs. We also have a scholarship program. You know, we're doing things to just bring positivity back to the community so someone can, you know, so we can help other families that are victims of senseless gun violence.
So you have stood in the national spotlight, you and Mr. Martin, for 4 years. You stood in those first weeks after Trayvon's death. You stood through the trial, and you are still standing. Did you ever imagine that his death would serve as a catalyst for a national conversation on criminal justice reform and gun violence?
Absolutely not. No. I could not have imagined it. No. The answer to that question is no. I could not, you know, I could not imagine it just, you know, just taking off like that. Just one thing leading to another, and it just, you know, everything just kind of fell in its place, and we just did what we had to do.
When did you realize Trayvon's death had reached the point where an entire nation and the world felt this sense of disbelief and outrage?
I think because before we left Florida, we thought that it was just something in Florida, that people were just interested in Florida. And then as they did rallies in Sanford, and we took a trip to New York, and we did some media like early on, and that's when they had the Million Hoodie Rally at Union Park in New York. And we had just left the Reverend Sharpton show, Politics Nation, and he said, well, I think you guys should go by and just thank the people that came out to the rally. And so, you know, we didn't know about a million hoodie rally, and so we had no clue what that was. But when we went out there, I think they recorded 20 or 30,000 people, and it was just so many people. It was just so, you know, it was just an awesome experience to see so much support where we had not seen it before, because we had not, you know, experienced outside of Florida. And so it was just, you know, we was just glad to know that we were not alone and that other people were standing with us.
No, you were not alone. I remember I was on vacation, and I could not tear myself away from the TV and just stunned. How did you get through those months after the trial and the acquittal? You mentioned staying busy, but in the quiet moments, what do you do?
I tell people about Proverbs 3:5-6, and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And that right there tells me that I can only understand so much, but God has the ultimate understanding, and that I should not lean just on what I know, you know, and I believe you know, it's about just trusting in God. And I just trust in him that he will handle the situation. That's why I don't comment so much. I don't have so much to say. When somebody does something crazy or says something crazy, I don't have a comment for it because I've given it to God. And I can't take it back and tell God, well, you're not moving fast enough, mm-hmm. so I need to take this back. No, I've given it to God, and people have to see that the peace within me is coming from God.
Well, speaking of crazy things, the sale of the gun, where do you put that?
I put that in one of the crazy things that people do, and I just can't stay focused on that. I have to focus on the foundation and what I'm doing right now to bring positivity back to the community. I just can't get off track and distracted by something that somebody is doing.
Have you ever had a chance to talk with a member of the jury? Because when these outlandish things happen, I think there are many who say, if the jury had done a better job, this would never have happened.
Well, they have to live with the decision that they made. Everybody has to live with the decisions that they have made. And so, no, I have not spoken to anybody from the jury, and I'm not interested in talking to anybody from the jury. And so, you know, they just have to understand, and they probably see now, you know, in hindsight, that that wasn't the right decision, but I'm not interested in speaking to anyone from the jury.
Is there anything you want to say to those who've been supportive of you, your family, and the Trayvon Martin Foundation? And I might point out that one of your supporters was Prince.
Yes, absolutely. He was an anonymous supporter until his death about a week and a half ago. And Reverend Sharpton mentioned, you know, on his show again, Politics Nation, that Prince was a supporter of the foundation and didn't even want us to know, the family to know, that he had given. But they did tell us, and, you know, we were able to, you know, send a message back thanking him for his support. But just to your listeners, I just want to tell them thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you not only from me, but from my family and the entire Trayvon Martin Foundation. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for signing a petition. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for keeping Trayvon's name relevant and not saying this is just a story and moving on to the next story. You know, and I just, you know, thank people for their continuous prayers.
I hear a spirit in your voice that is strong.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I just did an interview yesterday, and I was like, you know, the reporter was like, how are you smiling? And I'm like, you know, the peace that I have is, you know, man didn't give it to me,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so I can live, I can go to sleep, you know, tonight and sleep in my bed, and I don't have to worry about something that I've done or something I've said, you know. And so I'm just trying to live my life. I'm just trying to do my part, you know, with what the cards I've been given, you know. And so, you know, I can't focus on negative things. I have to focus on the positive and try to move forward. And that's what the Trayvon Martin Foundation is about. It's about bringing awareness, and it's about moving forward.
Well, we thank you for joining us in the Village. Again, the Circle of Mothers Conference will be held this weekend in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Ms. Fulton, thank you so much, and may God continue to bless you with the courage, the strength, and the smile that we hear in your voice.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.
You're listening to the Village Celebration, and I'm Vicki Newton.
So I take this time to stop a moment and show my gratitude for you. I-